might say also that I've enjoyed this conference to this point. It's been great. And my desire right now is that the Lord would use me to continue that spirit. My wife, on the way up here, told me, she says, when you get up to preach, you watch your time. She says, because since you went the north side, you tend to kind of got a little bit long. And when I looked at the program and I seen I was preaching before Brother Clyde Hancock, I said, don't worry about it. But I want to get serious now. I want to look at verse 22 down through verse 26 of Genesis 49. It says, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob, from whence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep, that lieth under blessings of the breast and of the womb. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the hand of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that separate from his brethren. We want to speak to you tonight, by the Lord's help, Joseph, the type of Christ, and Christ, the anti-type. In other words, what we're going to do is take a picture of Joseph and open it up and see the real thing. Joseph, of all the individuals in the Bible, is truly a type or picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what I hope to do is give you a picture of Joseph and then go to the life of Christ and show you Christ. The first thing we want to note concerning Joseph was the fact that he was the first born son of his mother. In Genesis chapter 30, verses 22 through 24, we find the birth of Joseph. For he was born of Rachel, Jacob's beloved wife. We find here, starting verse 22, it says, and God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bare a son and said, God hath taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph, and said, God shall add to me another son. Rachel was Jacob's beloved wife. He had gone down there to Laban by the instruction of Abraham and Sarah that he would not take a wife of the heathen, that he would take a proper wife, a wife of the family. And this in itself is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ taking the right wife. But as Jacob met Rachel, he fell in love with her, and Laban said, you serve me 7 years, and I'll give her to you. And he served Laban for 7 years, but was deceived. He got Leah instead. And Laban said, you fulfill her week, and you can have Rachel also. And after a week's time, he took Rachel also. But God opened up the womb of Leah. And over the course of time, she had borne Jacob 6 sons and a daughter. Jacob's handmaids also had borne 4 sons unto Jacob. And Rachel, in verse 1, said of this chapter, and when Rachel saw that she had borne Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children, or else I die. We see this scene. God remembered Rachel. And he opened her womb, and she conceived, and she bore a son, and she called his name Joseph. Because God would add another son unto her. But this was her firstborn son. Her firstborn son. He was a son of promise. He was a son of promise. And as we look in the book of Luke, chapter 2, we find that the Lord Jesus Christ, he was the firstborn son of Mary. There was already something mentioned today concerning the season that we're in, and that Mary is not the intermediate between us and God. When we see this here, that he's her firstborn son, that indicates she had other sons. In fact, the scripture tells us Jesus and his brethren. But let's look here. He says in verse 1, it says, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And the taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea and the city of David, and was which was called Bethania, because he was of the house of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished, and she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. Her firstborn son. A son of promise. God had promised Israel a son. A son, as we shall see, who is the Savior, of which Joseph was the type. He is the firstborn son of Mary. He was the son of promise. As we look back in Luke chapter 1 here, when the angel came to Mary and told her that she was going to conceive a child by the Holy Spirit, we find in verse 30, it says, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Jesus, the Son of Promise, the firstborn son of Mary. And he was born, or she found favor with God. Amen. I believe that if you look back in Rachel's case, she had been barren, and she found favor with God. And she bore a son who eventually would be the Savior of Israel. And we'll see more on that later on. But as far as these two sons, Joseph and the Lord Jesus Christ were the favored sons of their fathers. Back in Genesis chapter 37, we find concerning Joseph and his father. Now bear in mind, Jacob ended up with 12 sons, but Joseph was his favorite. Joseph was favored. He was the firstborn son of Rachel, his beloved, but he was the son of his old age. But he was the firstborn son of his beloved Rachel. He loved Rachel. Verse 3 here of chapter 37 says, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors." In other words, he bestowed upon Joseph favors that he didn't bestow upon any other of his sons. He was his beloved son, his son of his old age, the son of his beloved Rachel. And he identified him with a coat of many colors. But it produced jealousy among his brothers. They hated him. They hated him because he had favor with their father that they did not have. He had a coat of many colors, and when they were in the field tending the flocks, he was at home with his father. And as the process of time went by, we find that Joseph, or Jacob, told his son Joseph, he says, "You go down and check on your brethren. See how your brothers are doing." And as they seen this hated brother theirs, especially after he had dreamed the dreams that they and their father and their mother would bow down unto him, they called him the dreamer. They thought him foolish. They hated him even more because he had said, "In this dream, you're going to bow down to me. You're going to give obeisance unto me." And they said within their hearts, "We'll never surrender to our kid brother. Especially because he has received favor above us. He's loved of our father more than us." And they despised him. And as he was traveling to be with them, they began to devise a plan to get rid of him. They even had planned to slay him till Reuben interceded. We find here in verse 20 of this chapter 37, it says, "Come now therefore, let us slay him." This is after they had cast him in a pit. It says, "Come now therefore, let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of this dream, of his dreams." And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands, and said, "Let us not kill him." And Reuben said unto them, "Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again." But as he was in this pit, there were some Midianites coming. They were going to sell him. But the Midianites took him out and sold him to some Ishmaelites. And he ended up in Egypt. But we'll get more on that in a minute. But concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, he was loved of his father. He was loved more of his father than any of his sons that are here tonight. Greater love is between the father and the son than any other love. So we see in Matthew 3:17, when he's baptized of John, the father spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased." In Matthew 17:5 on the Mount Transfiguration, he spoke again. He said, "This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." He was loved of his father, and we're commanded to hear him, the beloved son of God. Joseph's brothers didn't want to hear what the beloved son said. Man today does not want to hear what the beloved son has to say. In John 1 and verse 11, we're told that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. He come unto his own countrymen, his own offspring by birth, and they received him not. And we see back in John chapter 19 the extent of their hatred for him. John chapter 19 and verse 7. And at this point here that Pilate approaches Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ had already endured more punishment, I believe, than any of us here tonight could even begin to bear. He had been whipped with a scourge. He had had the crown of thorns buried in his brow. He had had the hairs plucked from his face. He had been beaten. He had been slapped. And as he stood before Israel at Pilate's hand and at Pilate's mercy, seemingly, Pilate turned to Israel and he says, the Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God." They said, "He needs to die. The beloved Son of God needs to die because he's made himself equal with God." He was God. He was God. And he lets Pilate know here. He says, "When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and said unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." But what he's saying right here, my brethren that desire to kill me have no power either. My Father has given me more power than anyone, because he's the beloved Son. But in his countrymen down here in verse 14 and 15, says, "And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Surely I crucify your king. The chief priest answered, We have no king but Caesar." His own countrymen, his own brethren, hated him to the point that they wanted him dead, just like Joseph's brothers. They hated him to the point they wanted him dead. But God is in power. Joseph, in all of his adversity, was honorable. He was honorable, and he received favor with God. In the book of Genesis, again, in chapter 39, after his brothers had sold him into slavery, actually, they didn't know where he went. Recall that they took his coat of many colors and killed a goat and put the blood on it and told their father that he was slain by an animal, and his remains scattered about. And Jacob grieved for his beloved son from that day forward. But we find in all of his adversity, Joseph found favor with God. And in turn, he found favor with his slave owner. He was sold as a slave to Potiphar. It says in verse 1 through 3, it says, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar and the officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him out of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. You see here, when God had favor with Joseph's life, even though he was a slave, his master observed that God was with him.
Amen.
God was with his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But in the house of Potiphar, it says, and it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. God blessed the house of Potiphar, a heathen, because of the favor that Joseph had with God.
Amen.
Do you realize today that if you're employed by somebody and you serve God as you ought to, God's going to bless them for you? Verse 6, it says, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Potiphar trusted Joseph to the point, observing the blessings that God had given him, that he didn't even know what he owned. The only thing he knew he received was the bread he ate every day. Joseph, though, run into a problem. It wasn't his. It was Potiphar's. Potiphar's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. She desired to lay with him. But we find Joseph tells us in verse 9, it says, there is none greater in this house than I. Neither have he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Joseph didn't say that I'm not supposed to have you just because you're his wife, but because it would be sin against God.
Amen.
And this is exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did. He didn't sin, and we'll read some scripture concerning that in a few moments. But that didn't stop Potiphar's wife. That didn't stop her desire to sin. Joseph had favor with God, though. Joseph was an honorable man. And as time passed, Joseph commended the house to take care of his business. Just him and her. She tried to force him to lie with her. Joseph, the godly man that he was, fled. But she grabbed his garment and turned her lust into his demise. She accused him of trying to force her, this Egyptian that Potiphar brought into our house. He's accused of crimes that he had not committed. He's accused of sin that he did not commit. And Potiphar believed his wife. As much as he respected Joseph, he believed his wife. Joseph was cast into prison. Cast into prison for a crime he did not commit. We find concerning the Lord Jesus Christ over there in Luke chapter 2 and verse 52 concerning his life here upon the earth. And there's something we need to bear in mind concerning the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Till the age of 30, he worked in his father's carpenter shop, or Joseph's carpenter shop. It wasn't until he began his earthly ministry that Israel began to hate him. As we see here in verse 52 of Luke 2, it says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." And this is when he began his earthly ministry, that all the Israelites, they would say, "Isn't this Joseph's son? Isn't this the carpenter's son?" He was an honorable man there in the carpenter shop. He was a respected man in that carpenter shop. But when he began his ministry, began to preach the word of God, they began to despise him. Just like Joseph, when he began to tell the dreams that God had given him, that's when his brothers really began to hate him. When he began to reveal unto them exactly what God's plans was for him. When Jesus Christ began to reveal the plan or the purpose of his heavenly Father to preach the gospel, then the Jews began to hate him. Yet we find his desire was to do his Father's will. In John 5, and verse 30, says, "I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which sent me." He didn't come to fulfill his own will. And we bear in mind, we remember that he is the Son of God, that he's eternal, he has always been. But when he came to this world, he took upon himself a body of flesh. And as the Godhead had met and decreed that the Son would come and take upon him that body and that he would fulfill their purpose here upon the earth, he agreed to do everything that they had decreed. And this is why he said his will was to do his Father's will. It wasn't to come to this world and change the plan, but he came to this world to fulfill the plan. But he had favor with God and man. Back in Philippians chapter 2, we find his willingness. And Joseph was willing to fulfill his father's will. He was willing to fulfill his owner's will. He was a slave. Remember, he became a slave. Here we find in Philippians chapter 2, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being the firstborn of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant," a slave. He took upon himself a body of flesh like ours. And you're a slave tonight. If you're here and you're lost, you're a slave to sin.
Amen.
Jesus Christ became a servant of the Father's will.
Amen, brother.
He says, "And was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Joseph was obedient unto all that Potiphar put in his hands. He was obedient in all that Jacob had required of him. "Go and check on your brothers." "Yes, Father." The Lord Jesus Christ, obedient, even unto the death of the cross. We find in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, that he was tempted like we are in all points of sin, yet without sin. Joseph, tempted with sin. And when him and Potiphar's wife were there in the house by themselves, you know, if he'd been a man that desired sin, she would have never said a thing. She'd have been quiet. That's what she wanted. But he said, "I'm not going to do this sin against God." Lord Jesus Christ, as the Son of God, said, "I will not sin against my Father. I will not break my Father's commandments. I will honor my Father in all points." Joseph, was forgiving. And he returned favor for his brother's evil. Joseph, over the period of time, even when he was in the prison, he found favor with the captain of the prison. I believe Joseph, as a prisoner, had more authority than anyone except the captain of the prison. But he wasn't allowed to go free. He was a prisoner. He was in prison. You remember there was a butcher, the chief butcher and chief baker. They were cast into prison also. And they dreamed dreams. Joseph interpreted those dreams. I believe it was the butler and the baker. The butler was restored to his position. The baker lost his head. But he says to that butler, he says, when you return, you remember me. And there was a period of time passed, and he forgot Joseph until Pharaoh dreamed a dream. Pharaoh dreamed a dream. There was 7 good ears and 7 bad ears. And those bad ears ate up those good ears. None of the enchanters, none of the Chaldeans, none of the magicians in Egypt could even begin to remember or decipher what that dream meant. All of a sudden the butler says, uh-oh, I remember this fellow down in prison by the name of Joseph, a Hebrew. He interpreted my dream and the chief baker's dream, and they came true. Clean him up, bring him up here. Joseph appeared before Pharaoh. Pharaoh told him his dream. And Pharaoh says, I need somebody. In fact, he told Pharaoh, he says, you need somebody to be in charge of this. Pharaoh says, I think you'd be the right candidate. He became second only to Pharaoh. From a slave to the second in command of the greatest nation on earth at that time. He perhaps had more power than any other Israelite other than Moses when he was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And during those 7 years of plenty, they gathered a fifth part into the barns. And when the 7 years of famine came, old Jacob, he looks down in Egypt and he says, they've got corn down there, sons. You go down and get me some. Joseph recognized his brothers. They didn't recognize him. He knew who they were when they came down the first time. He had the power that he could take in every one of them at that time and threw them in prison and left them there. But he had compassion. He had love. He sold them food and put their money back in their sack. Of course, he kept one in prison. But as time passed, well, Joseph, of course, he asked about their father. He says, your father's still alive. We're the sons of 12 of us. One isn't, and one's with our father. He says, I won't give you any more corn until you bring your youngest brother with you. Joseph says, or Jacob says, I've already lost one son. I don't want to lose another one. Man said he's not going to give us any corn unless we take Benjamin with us. So he reluctantly let him go. And Joseph couldn't refrain himself. He revealed himself unto his brothers. He says, is my father alive? Is my father alive? And he said, you bring my father back And the rest of his days, he'll have the finest that Egypt has. He'll have the finest. When his brothers knew who he was, they were afraid. Could you imagine if somebody in your life that you treated like Joseph, and in years to come, the power table was turned around? Wouldn't you be tempted to do everything you could to destroy them? Joseph didn't. He returned good for evil. His brothers were still afraid of him. As time passed, they thought, the only reason Joseph's been good to us is because of our father. And after Jacob had died and they carried him back to Canaan, his brother said, we're going to have to cut a deal with old Joseph. You know, he's going to take care of us now. He reminded, he was still second in command. He still could have done whatever he wanted with him. What we find here in chapter 50, starting in verse 15, says, and when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee, now the treasure or trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. Remember that dream? Remember that dream?
Yeah.
God doesn't make mistakes. Amen. He says, and Joseph said unto them, fear not, for I am I, or Jesus, fear not, for am I in the place of God? Or Jesus, am I the one that's pronounced your judgment? Am I the one to cast you out because of this? But he says, now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Earlier he had told them, don't worry about this, because God meant this to preserve a people.
Yeah, amen.
God brought all this in Joseph's life to save a nation of Israel. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. As we've seen, he took upon himself the form of a servant. For what? To save God's people.
Amen, brother.
Israel decreed, they desired to kill him. They wanted him out of the way. Of course, we know Satan was behind it. Satan led them that way. But we see in Acts chapter 2, when old Peter standing there on the day of Pentecost preaching to these fellows that stood out there just 40 days before hollering, crucify him, crucify him. Peter says to them in verse 22, he says, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, the man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you all. Well, that's not in there, is it? In the midst of you. As ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. You wanted to get rid of him, but God meant it to your good. For he says in verse 36, he says, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ.
Amen. Thank you.
Crucify him. Crucify him. God's made him Lord and Christ. It says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Sound familiar with Joseph's brothers?
Yeah.
What shall we do? He says, repent and be baptized every one of you for the remission of sins. In other words, God meant this also for your forgiveness of your sins. And Peter preached more unto them. We find in verse 41, it says, then they that gladly received the word of were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Jesus Christ returned good for their evil.
Amen.
And today, if you're here and you're lost, you also, if you had the opportunity, would have stood there with those Jews and cried, crucify him.
Right.
But he'll return good for your evil today. Repent and be baptized. Joseph was the Savior of his people. The Savior. God sent him down to Egypt, let him be cast in prison for the purpose of preserving Israel.
Amen. That's right.
And what was the ultimate motive to preserve Israel? Jesus Christ. Through your seed, Abraham, will the world be blessed.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, the seed of Abraham. Look there in Galatians, and we'll close with this. Galatians chapter 3 says, verse 13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. Through Jesus Christ, we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant. Yet, if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not to seeds, that is many, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Joseph was the preserver of that seed. He preserved Israel. And God blessed his life as he blessed the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he'll bless your life tonight too if you'll repent and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ.